Welcome to the Clarity Advisor Show, where you'll learn how to grow your team today. Join Ken Trupke and his guests as they discuss what works and doesn't work to grow your team in today's world. And now, your host, Ken Trupke.
Hello, and welcome to the Clarity Advisor Show. One of the keys to building a great team is hiring great teammates, and a key part of the hiring process is the interview process. Now, hiring has a lot of other important elements, such as creating job descriptions or position profiles, which I prefer, which are going to identify the key responsibilities of the role you're hiring for. Recruiting to get a sufficient pool of hopefully qualified candidates. Having a defined and documented core values list so you know what a culture fit looks like. All these things need to happen. But today, we're focusing on the interview process. So you have a very intentional culture, and so you need a very intentional process for vetting people who might join your team. You want to be very careful and methodical in your hiring decisions to protect your company and culture from the problems resulting from hiring the wrong person. And depending on the position, steps may be combined and optional steps skipped, but in general, I highly recommend this entire 12-step process. And you might be thinking, whoa, 12 steps? How long will this take? I need somebody right now. Well, the full interview process can take up to 6 weeks, depending on your schedule and the candidate's schedule. But sometimes you need to slow down to go fast. And if you only want to go through this once, well, then let's do everything we can to get it right the first time. And this process doesn't guarantee that you'll only hire superstars who stay with you long term, but it does reduce the chance that you'll regret your hiring decisions 3 months after they start. So here we go. Buckle up. Step one. Step one is the culture fit interview. Seth Godin says, people like us do things like this. So we're looking for the people like us to do the things that we're doing. I believe in a first who, then what approach. I want to understand who the candidate is as a person and whether our company core values are going to resonate with them in a way that we might be a good fit for each other. Once we can mutually confirm a culture fit, then we can confirm that the candidate has the necessary skills and experience that we're looking for. But if they're not who we're looking for, then it doesn't really matter what they know or what they've experienced. One of my favorite authors on leadership, Patrick Lencioni, wrote a book called The Ideal Team Player, which suggests that what you're looking for, regardless of the position, is someone who's humble, hungry, and smart. And by smart, we mean EQ, that they have people smarts, that they have empathy and soft skills, not just pure IQ or intelligence. So I recommend that this culture fit interview be your first step, because if the candidate is not humble, hungry, and EQ smart and doesn't align with your core values, well, then they're just not going to make a good teammate regardless of what they know. So this interview is meant to qualify the candidate and confirm that it makes sense to continue to invest time pursuing them. And it's about a 30-minute interview conducted typically by the hiring manager, or it could be another leader in your organization who really embraces and understands your culture so that they can be a good judge whether or not the candidate is going to be a fit for your culture. It's not going to leave a lot of time for the candidate to ask questions, so you're going to want to let the candidate know ahead of time what that format's going to be. Now, there are sample questions in the Ideal Teammate book, but some that I like to use include, what was your most embarrassing moment in your career, and how did you handle that? That's going to tackle the idea of humble. Are they comfortable not being perfect? Do they take responsibility when they mess up? Another question, how would you describe your personality? Here we're looking for that EQ smart, looking for some introspection. If they're stumped by that question, it usually means they're not very in tune with themselves and their emotions and other people. Third question, looking at the hungry, is going to be, did you work hard when you were a teenager? It's a great question to get at their work ethic. And again, these questions aren't perfect, but a series of questions around the humble, hungry, and smart are going to give you a sense of their fit. I also like to send the core values ahead of the interview and then ask them in the interview to share which of the core values most resonated with them and why. So first of all, it's going to weed out people who didn't even read the core values. You'll get sometimes, all of them. There really wasn't one I could pick out or something like that, where it's pretty clear they probably just didn't read them until that second. But if they did take some time, it's interesting to have a conversation around that. What does resonate and what doesn't? And between the humble, hungry, and smart and the core values conversation, you're going to get a good sense of whether or not this is a person you want to continue to pursue. Okay, so that's step one. Step two is provide the candidate with your job application. This is a fill-in-the-blank, old-school application that's important because it has the candidate providing information about their work history and background. So if something's uncovered during the process or down the road after you hire them that doesn't quite line up, you have their statement signed and in writing from them. So again, just let the candidate know this is a step in the process. And for the right candidate, this signals that you're a pro and you run a tight ship, that you understand the value of having a process, and that process includes a job application. So step three, back to interviews. Step three is the job fit interview. So the question you're trying to answer here, is this for you? And can you help us, you being the candidate? Is this position a good fit for you, candidate? And can you, candidate, help us? After you've confirmed there's a culture fit, this interview continues to assess how aligned the candidate's needs and abilities are with what you're looking for. It's typically about a 30-minute interview conducted by the hiring manager, and you can conduct it in that same interview with either the culture fit interview or step four coming up here, the resume interview. Some sample questions here could include, ideally, what are you looking for in your next position? Or what was it about this role that attracted your attention? Or what type of leader do you want to work for? You're trying to get a sense of what they're all about. And if this is a continuing conversation of, is this a good fit? And are they interested in helping you, or are they just interested in themselves? Okay, so that's step three, the job fit interview. Step four is the resume interview. Here we go. You've been waiting. The question you're trying to answer here is, where have you been and what did you learn? This is the typical interview. This is the one we're all used to, where we walk through the candidate's resume job by job. But I encourage you, rather than focus on the responsibilities and the descriptions of each position, presumably which you can just read in their resume, you want to prompt the candidate to self-reflect about what they've learned. This is going to be a 60 to 90 minute interview, depending on how experienced the person is, you know, how many jobs they've had that might be relevant to talk about. And you might want to have another leader there to take notes. And we'll talk about that in a second. An alternative to this is to just have the candidate prepare a written summary of their career, which includes questions that you would have asked in the interview, but you could ask them to just write out the answers of these three, among others. What did you learn from that position? What would you have done differently? And what major challenges did you face? Again, we're trying to get a sense of what did they learn from this experience, not just what did they do and what did they learn and what do they know. You're not looking at necessarily the skills, but what they're taking away from these roles. So quick sidebar now about multiple people. People do often ask me if they should do interviews alone or in pairs or in a group. Well, I recommend that you work in pairs whenever possible. Two people working together can divide and conquer, with one person asking questions and the other person taking notes, or you can tag team it by trading off questions to provide a more conversational tone and add some variety. Either way, it has two big advantages. One, it allows you to debrief after the call and share some things with each other. Maybe somebody noticed something that the other person didn't, or maybe you both noticed something and said, yeah, I noticed that too. And either that was really good or maybe that was really bad, but it gives you a chance to just talk about it with someone who was also there. And secondly, it provides training for less experienced interviewers to watch a veteran and learn the ropes. So you can bring along somebody that you want to eventually be an interviewer and have them sit in with you to see kind of how you do it. And then the debrief in addition to what did you notice in the interview, but you can talk about the interview process itself and what did they notice about the way you managed the interview. So great training opportunity. Okay, so at this point, I suggest that we go to step five, which is providing the candidate with a DISC assessment. Now, you can use Myers-Briggs or Enneagram or StrengthsFinders. I love StrengthsFinders, or any established instrument. But I recommend DISC because it's both simple and informative. But whatever your tool of choice, you want to get an objective take on the candidate's behaviors and tendencies to see how well they're going to fit. Now, again, these are instruments. These are snapshots in time. They're not perfect, but they do provide some color commentary. They fill in some of the gaps, and they're more or less objective, third-party tested tools to help you assess the candidate. Now, there's a lot to these assessments, and you can do something simple for $12, or you can do a several hundred dollar assessment with a review by an outside coach and expert. I recommend letting the importance of the role and the cost of the position guide your decision. So the more important the role or the more money you're spending on this position, the more you want to invest in some outside assessment. But don't skip this. One way or the other, don't skip this step. Okay, so that's the first five steps. Now we have seven more, which we're going to cover after the break. So stay with me on the Clarity Advisor Show.
Is your business where you want it to be or on track to get there? Clarity Advisors helps business leaders improve communication and get your team aligned and engaged for greater success. We specialize in helping you streamline your sales and operating systems to improve efficiency and grow your profits. Call or text Ken at 616-822-2998. To have a complimentary 12-minute call to see what some clarity could do for you.
Okay, we're back on the Clarity Advisor Show. Today we're discussing how to successfully hire the ideal team player for your winning team. And we've covered the first five steps: the culture fit interview, the employment application, the job fit interview, the traditional resume interview, which we all know and love, and number five, we provided the candidate with a DISC or other assessment. So on to step six, the behavioral interview. What are you actually like is the question you're trying to answer. What is the candidate actually like? Anybody can look good for an hour in a typical meet and greet, walk me through your resume, tell me about yourself kind of interview. But this interview is going to ask the candidate to provide specific information about how they would or did handle situations that reveal their aptitude for specific job skills. This is a 90-minute interview, typically conducted by the hiring manager and probably that second person. So the way you want to tackle this is get a list of 3 to 5 key job skills, and then ask a handful of questions about those skills. So here's a sample. I'm going to choose attention to detail as a skill I'm looking for and client focus or customer orientation. So attention to detail. Here's some questions. What process do you use to check that you have the right details from a customer? Number two, give me an example of a time you discovered an error that was overlooked by a colleague. What did you do and what was the outcome? Number three, tell me about a time that you were confused by a customer's request. What steps did you take to clarify things? So that's going to give you a sense of how they think about attention to detail. Client focus or customer orientation. Number one, when have you had to deal with an irate customer? And what did you do? And how did that situation end up? Number two, tell me about a time you inherited a customer. And what steps did you take to establish rapport with them? And what did you do to gain their trust? So just some ideas. There's obviously dozens of skills you could be interviewing for. So just pick the couple that you want to really focus on that are the key skills to have in this role, and then grab a couple questions for that. All right, step seven, the technical assessment. The question we're answering here is, does the candidate know their stuff? This interview is to assess the candidate's specific skills and level of mastery. You're going to ask for examples of how they use the tools and techniques appropriate to the role. You may want to, for example, give a software engineer a small section of code to write or debug. You might give a customer support candidate a situation and then say, draft an email response. Or you might hand a sales rep a script and a phone and ask them to start making some cold calls. The point is you want to see what they really know So make sure you have your experts with you. If it's not you, if you're not the expert in this area, bring an expert along, because we're really trying to assess their expertise. So this is typically going to be a 60-minute interview conducted by the hiring manager, possibly with your fellow experts. All right, step 8, provide the candidate with your policy handbook and your benefits info. Listen, you're getting close at this point. You've run them through a number of interviews, probably over a couple of weeks. So make sure they have what they need to understand your full compensation package. Because remember, compensation is more than just the salary or wage offer. It's how many vacation days do they get or weeks, and what kind of health coverage do you have, and how much do you contribute to that? What kind of retirement plan is there? All those things matter, and you want to give them the information at this point so they can start to do their due diligence and put together what they think is going to be a fair compensation package and have an expectation of what you're going to offer. Okay, number 9, the peer interview. Now, this step is optional, but the question we're trying to answer is, what does the current team think about this potential future teammate? So what we typically want to do is have a group interview, or ideally get a meal involved. Have the team take this candidate to lunch. This is an opportunity for the candidate to learn how things work here, to ask them, like, what's it really like to work here? And for the team to learn about that candidate as a person. You know, we're going to be working together. So afterward, the team should have a good sense of whether they would or wouldn't want to have this candidate as a teammate, and vice versa. The candidate should come away saying, I'm not sure I would want to work with this team. And by team, I mean probably the 3 to 7 people that this person's going to work most closely with. It doesn't have to be the entire company, unless that is your entire company, but you probably don't want it to be just a select 2 or 3. You probably want to have a little bit bigger group here. And so it's a casual, relatively informal chance for people to just get to know each other. We're not grilling them on where they've been or what they've done. I mean, those questions can come up, but the purpose is really just a get to know me session, where the candidate can say, what's it really like to work here? And the team can find out, what are you really like as a person? So this could be totally optional, but where it fits, it's a great interview to have. Number 10, the reference check. What do other people say about this candidate? So this interview asks someone who previously worked with the candidate to candidly share the candidate's strengths and weaknesses and what it was like to work with them. The critical question is, would you hire them again? Presumably you're talking to the person's previous boss, but it could be the person's previous peer, in which case you could ask them, you know, hypothetically, would you hire them again if you had the chance or to work with them again? So it's typically a 30-minute interview. You want to be respectful of those references times, and it's going to be conducted by the hiring manager, or it could be another leader. It doesn't have to be the hiring manager. But this is the one that people skip. This is the one that nobody does. Everybody asks for references, and then nobody does anything with them. Don't skip this step. Don't skip this step. Sure, you're going to get some people that are just glowing references because the candidate handpicked them for you. But if you prompt them with the right questions, people are going to give you useful information. I'm talking about questions like, how good of a communicator and listener was the candidate? You want to get a sense of some of their soft skills and ask for an example. You know, they say, oh yeah, he was a great listener. Oh, really? Can you give me an example? All right, number 2, what's an example of a setback or stressful situation, maybe a tough deadline or an interpersonal conflict or a tough, tight budget that the candidate faced? And tell me how they dealt with that. You're looking to find out whether they rise to the challenges or they just disappear under pressure. Do problems unleash creativity and collaboration, or do they trigger some finger pointing and withdrawal? People will tell you things. All right, number 3, for this position, we need somebody who can blank and then fill in one of those most important aspects. So how would you rate the candidate on each of them? Ask the reference to use a 1 to 10 scale and only allow them to give you a 10 on 1 in order to get a more realistic picture. So they can't just go, oh yeah, 10, 10, 10. They're 10 on everything. Like, oh, come on. All right, you can give them 1 10, but the rest of them got to be another number. But you know, ask them, like, look, we're looking for these specific characteristics. How do you rate them on those specific things? People are going to share it. And finally, another example is, what type of work environment do you think the candidate would most likely thrive in, and why? So you're trying to get at, did they require a lot of supervision, or are they work independently? Do they like to work alone? Do they like to be on a team? Maybe you've got them set up to work in a team and you talk to the references and two out of the three references are like, oh yeah, he crushed it when he worked alone, or she was fantastic when she was able to lead. But when you put her on a team with a leader, yeah, she usually clashed. Like, whoa, that's good to know. So the reference interview, so critical. Okay, we're almost there. The last two steps. Number 11, conduct a background check. Similar to the reference check, this is something people often skip. Listen, all we're talking about here is a basic credit check and a basic criminal background check. You can get these done for under $50, and it's well worth it regardless of the position. So this isn't meant to knock anybody out of the running. It's just meant to get all the cards on the table. If there's an issue, let's just get it out there so we can deal with it and talk about it. Now, maybe it does knock somebody out, but that's not the intention. The intention is just find out what the deal is with their situation, and then let's talk about that. So it shouldn't be anything big and scary. Obviously, you're going to let the candidate know, hey, I'm going to run a credit check and a background check. And then you're going to do that, and you're going to talk about it if something comes back. All right, and finally, here we go, the big finish, number 12, the courtesy interview. The question we're trying to answer here is, wait for it, the classic, tell me about yourself. Yeah, listen, there may be a need for some interviews with other teammates or leaders that you just need to do as a courtesy. These are 20-minute general conversations for the candidate and the interviewer to get to know each other. Somebody might have a specific question for one or the other. The candidate might have said, hey, I know that you have X, Y, and Z person, you know, C-level CFO, this person's your CFO. Is there a chance I could meet them? Or, hey, you know, I've heard that this VP on your team is great. Would there be a chance I could, you know, connect with them as part of the process? Or maybe flip that around. The C-level executive might say, hey, I heard we're hiring somebody in customer support. I'd sure like to meet them. Or, you know, again, VP might say, hey, I heard we're hiring a new salesperson. You know, I used to work in sales years ago. I'd love to, you know, just see who we're talking to these days. You know, however it comes about, this is just something near the end of the process, just arrange a courtesy interview so people aren't strangers on their first day. You know, it's great to have people know more people. The candidate wants to feel comfortable that they know people in the company, and people in the company don't want it to be weird, like, who's the new girl? Where did she, when did she start? You know, let's have some connection here. So, and if the candidate's gotten this far, this should be just a formality. This isn't meant to knock anybody out. This isn't meant to be a gotcha surprise thing. Now, something might go crazy sideways, who knows? But in general, these are just what they look like on the surface. They're just courtesy, friendly, tell me about yourself in 20 minutes, back and forth conversational interviews with a couple key people if they're asking for it or if the candidate asks for it. So there you go. So that's my roadmap for successfully vetting the right teammates for your team. So obviously from here, you need a great onboarding process, but that's a whole nother show. And so let's just quickly recap the 12 steps. So number one, of course, the culture fit interview. Do that first. We're going to find out if they're humble, hungry, and smart, and whether or not they fit our core values. Then we're going to provide the candidate with a job application. Just check in the box. We're pros. We run a tight ship. This is how we do things. Number three, the job fit interview. Is this job for you and can you help us? Is what we're trying to answer. The step four, the resume interview, the classic, where have you been and what did you learn? What have you done? Which could be also a written portion. They could just send that to you in writing. Step five, DISC assessment or another type of behavioral assessment. Step six, the behavioral interview. What are you actually like? Here's some specific skills we're looking for and questions to discern how well you might fit with those skills. Step seven, the technical assessment. How well do you know your stuff? Let's give them a test of some sort, have them make phone calls or debug some code or write up an email, whatever it is. Step eight, provide the candidate with a policy handbook and benefits info. We're getting close. Things are going well. We're moving down the line here. Let's get them some information now. It's not just us gathering information. Step nine, the peer interview. That's an optional step. What are the future, you know, team? What does the team think about this future teammate? Step 10, the reference check. Don't skip it. Did I mention don't skip it? Don't skip this step. What do other people say about this candidate? Step 11, conduct that background check, credit check, criminal background check. And then step 12, the courtesy interviews, again, optional if necessary. And there you have it. So that brings us to the end of another Clarity Advisor show. If you have questions or comments about this process or anything else related to building and growing a great team, please reach out and let's connect. Meanwhile, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Clarity Advisor Show.
Thank you for listening to the Clarity Advisor Show. Clarity Advisors is a speaking, training, and consulting firm specializing in helping you simplify your sales and operating systems to improve efficiency and grow your profits. Connect with Clarity Advisors today to learn more about how they can help you improve communication and get your team aligned and engaged for greater success.